Hey, welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silver Ranch in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and we are enjoying the beauty of Wisconsin weather. And I say that in jest because, well, first of all, if you're tuning in, you've listened to us before, I apologize. I don't really mean to talk about the weather at the start of every show. It's just in Wisconsin when it's March and April time, it's really the only thing to talk about.
as far as outside,
because you never know what it's gonna do. I mean, we went from being in the 60s, I feel like, last Monday, a week and a half ago. Now we are like, I think we were -8 below with the wind chill last night.
It was 8 degrees when I got up this morning.
And we're supposed to get 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight. So it's one of those.
And the lake thawed, and now it's freezing.
And I was really hoping to get an early start on building the summer set, Dave. And who knows? Who knows? Because they say a week from now it's going to be 50. So we still might. My hope is by the start of April, depending on when you're listening to this. But my goal is hopefully the start of April, which usually in a normal year in Wisconsin, I don't get to start until the end of April.
Right.
So we'll see. It'll be fun. For those of you, you know, listening, I encourage you to join us for the summer.
On the positive side, there's no better weather, I think, in the world than in Wisconsin in the summer.
Yes, I concur.
Yeah. And in the winter, if you like winter sports, the winter
likewise.
I would
say year-round.
Yeah.
We have a nice
fall. The fall
blend.
Is my favorite season. So here I'm getting into all the seasons now saying they're good.
That's because Wisconsin is the perfect place.
It's a great place to be weather-wise.
I mean, where else can you get
cheese curds? Summer, years ago, I saw that the average high temperature in Wisconsin, in our area in the summer, was 68 degrees in July.
That was last year?
No, when I looked it up last. The average. So, I mean, the day goes into the 80s. The nights dip down. So you get the average.
Well, and that's the thing I love is we can get pretty warm during the day.
Yep.
But because we're surrounded by forest, when it cools off at night, it cools off.
Yeah. Oftentimes, the canopy, the trees, they absorb about 10 degrees of weather. So if
interesting.
That's why here, if you've been to camp, you know that we have a lot of trees around, so if you're we had more before the storm came. But if you're in an area where you're under trees and it's 75 degrees out.
Yeah.
It might feel like 65 degrees under the trees.
Yeah.
So then you're thinking, I don't know if I want to go swimming.
Right.
But then you go out in the field and you go, I want to go swimming.
Yes.
Or you go down to the beach where the trees aren't. You go, oh, it's warm down here.
Yeah.
So it's really a very interesting thing to be in the woods where the canopy will absorb X amount of everything.
Degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Degrees, or if it's just drizzling a little bit, sometimes you can be in the woods and you don't even feel the rain.
Yep.
You know, kind of thing. Have you ever been in a rainforest?
No.
That's amazing.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
And it's everything like the museum in Chicago. So they did well. They did well imitating. You know, I mean, the rainforest, when I was – the funny thing is, if you grew up in Chicago, so I'm down in the rainforest, and as I'm in there, I'm going, this is like the museum. And
go
I'm
figure,
sure
huh?
The people who put the museum together would thank me for that
there
because that's exactly what they were trying to accomplish.
That's right. That's right.
It also shows that you're a city kid
that
hasn't been in a
rainforest. That's right. You're not a city kid anymore.
I am not, but I was at that particular time.
That's all right.
My background. My thought, I sent you an article. I was just seeing another. I like surveys, just seeing where people are, you know, what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Again, what people think doesn't constitute truth. So one of the things I'd love to make sure we understand is that opinions and polls and a majority of people never actually constitute what truth is.
Right.
So those are nice to know, but that just means a majority of people know something. And so one of the general rules as people grow up that I try and tell young people especially is, please remember, feelings, emotions, etc. doesn't equal truth.
Right.
Belief doesn't equal truth. Mobs don't create truth. So you have to have that in your mind because you see a lot of that. You see a lot of people thinking and believing and saying, this is the way I'm going to find truth just by, I just believe this.
Yeah.
As if you believe something, and because you believe it, it has to be true. That's really kind of crazy when you think about it. So those that are listening to us, you should set down some general rules on what you're going to believe.
Right.
And realize that just because you believe it doesn't make it true. So what would the rules be if you had to do something that you had to believe in something? How do you know what truth is?
Well, you have to know that you can find truth first.
But where would it be?
I would say it's the principles that don't change.
Okay.
You know, because there's opinions and then there's fact, you know, and so we go to the scripture to learn the principles that don't change. And we've talked about this before, is behind everything, there's a principle.
Yeah.
And so it's finding those principles and the methods that you apply to the principle might change over time. You know, the way that you might, you know, practically apply that principle to your life might change. You might do, you know, saying principle is, here's a principle. You know, if you eat too much, it's probably not good for you.
Right.
It's not good for you.
Right.
You know, and so everybody applies that principle differently or ignore that principle, you know.
Or they don't ever define it.
Or they never define it.
So you never know if you ate too much.
Right. And so what is too much?
Yeah.
Well, too much if I don't work out, or too much if I'm sitting on the couch, or too much if I, you know, I'm an athlete, you know, and that you take the principle and then you apply it to your circumstances.
Yeah,
but the principle doesn't change.
What's really freaky about that is that principle, even though it's true, is applied differently to everybody because of their metabolism and how. I mean, there are guys that I know that eat and eat and eat and they are skinny as can be.
Right.
You know, I smell a donut and I gain a pound.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So. It's like different people, but the principle's the same.
Right. And there are principles where the application isn't necessarily as varied. You know, so the principle of you should have, you know, one spouse. You know, if you're married.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Now, obviously, people go outside of that, but that doesn't change the principle.
Right.
You know, you could either follow the principle or disobey the principle.
Right.
You know, and so in that case, there's only one way to apply it.
Yep.
You know.
So am I cheated if like I have a metabolism where I smell a donut and I gain weight, and let's say you could eat a dozen donuts and not gain weight, am I cheated in life because of that?
No.
And that's something you got to overcome as well. Sometimes you look at what somebody else is doing in life and how they live, and you say, I'm gonna live my life like them.
Right.
Well, again, go back to the principle. When you eat food, your body's going to take that food and it's going to metabolize it. It's going to give you energy, and it, if you don't use the calories that are in that food,
yes,
it's going to leave you deposits.
Yep.
Which is fat deposits somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Usually around the waistline.
Yeah. Depending on how old you are, different places. But the bottom line really is that's the principle.
Right.
Now, since everybody has a different metabolism, right, and their bodies are different, you can't do exactly what somebody else does. Mm-hmm. I remember once I was at a doctor's appointment, and the doctor was talking about, believe it or not, he wanted me to lose weight.
There you go.
Yeah. So I think he was calling me chubby.
Chubby.
I think so.
Husky.
Husky, chubby, all the politically correct words.
Fluffy.
For calling somebody a little bigger than they should be. And we were talking about, okay, what diet, you know, and through our lifetime, there's been so many diets, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the keto diet, and there's the, you know, whatever. You name the diet, it's probably out there.
Yeah.
Now, so I asked him what diet is best. He goes, probably any of them. And I looked at him like, what do you mean any of them? Again, he went to a principle in his brain.
Hmm.
What happens when you go to a diet that's new, he said, is that you don't eat all the foods you used to eat. And so you're very conscious for a while about changing your diet, changing your foods, and you don't eat as much.
Yeah.
So then you lose weight and you think the diet works. And then if you go later and you look on the shelves, let's say the keto diet, for example. So then you go into Walmart or wherever your grocery store is and you walk around and you see, oh, there's keto cookies and there's keto ice cream and there's.
Right.
Now, before you know it, he says, you're eating as much as you used to eat. And you come back and go, I need a new diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you keep going to different diets to try and lose your weight. Well, the principle still that you got to understand is that every human being, there's calories in and there's calories out.
Right.
So that's what you got to understand. If you look at the wrong thing, you're going to feel cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So if for example, an example I use, so you could eat a dozen donuts, let's say, and I can only smell one. Well, here's my advantage. I don't spend that much money on donuts.
There you go.
You have to spend all kinds of money on donuts. So in your life, All this money is going towards all these calories, and mine is going towards, you know, something else.
Carrots. Whatever.
Carrots. Carrots aren't as expensive as donuts, probably. I have no idea. But the bottom line is that every single person that's ever lived has advantages and disadvantages. Yes. If you compare yourself to other people, you're going to be miserable anyway.
Right, right. Well, and I think that the principle to learn even behind what you just said about, you know, everybody's different, is that one of the truths is God has created us each different and uniquely.
Right.
Because no matter how much I try to be you, Dave, at the end of the day, I'm not Dave.
Right.
That's not how God created me to be.
Right.
So, and I think we have to realize that.
Once again, we've talked about this so many times, but God talks about us being a part of the body. So, yeah. You know, when you think about that, that's the greatest illustration, because you're an elbow or your knee or mm-hmm. your toe. And those parts of the body are so unique. They contribute to the whole body, but they're unique. Now, they're same principles that apply to them.
Yeah.
Every part of the body needs to have access, unfettered access to the brain, every single one. So that's a principle. Once you get disconnected from the brain, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Every body part needs to be supplied with blood.
Yeah.
Once you get, you know, separated from that. So the principle is there, but each body part functions a little differently.
Yeah.
If you're going to be happy in life, what you need to do is write down the principles. Find the principles in life that don't change.
Yeah.
And if you've been around us very long, you know that oftentimes I'll say, there is a God. Mm-hmm. We're not him.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a principle. That's a principle for everyone listening. It's a principle for you, for me. Once you understand, okay, there is a God. God created the heavens and the earth. That's a principle. Now, what are the connotations of that principle? Well, that he made things. He made them a very specific way. He made them so that people could enjoy them. Mm-hmm. He made them to demonstrate who he was to us and his power and his authority. Okay, that's the principle.
Yeah.
God gives life. That's a principle. God takes life. That's a principle.
Yeah.
That's why you and I would not murder or do an abortion or whatever else it might be, because that's taking a life. Mm-hmm. So the principle is what guides us, not the feelings, not the mass popularity, not anything else. Now, when you get away from the principles of life, the byproduct of that is that you're miserable. Mm-hmm. Because think about it for a second. If I'm an elbow and I wanna be a foot,
yeah,
it's not going to work.
No.
I've seen people walk on their elbows, but it doesn't look good.
We do the wheelbarrow on the slip and slide during the summertime. Right. They don't do it that far.
No. Because you weren't made to walk that way.
Right.
So you're going to be miserable if you look at another body part and you say, I want to be like that body part. Mm-hmm. Rather than, I'm going to focus on the principles of making sure I get a brain connection and a blood connection and I'm functioning the best I can in the position I'm in, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about what the fruit of the Spirit is. And when it talks about fruit of the Spirit, it's something that Christians have because they're living by the principles that are in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a God. I know he loves me. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. So I'm in God's family. So I know all those things. And now the Holy Spirit indwells me. And as I read the Bible, I'm listening to God by reading the Bible and obeying it. And the Holy Spirit is guiding me and directing me. And when I live in the principles mm-hmm. that God gives me, and I know those from the Bible, here's what happens. It's like a tree that's in a good spot. Now, recently you made maple syrup with your family.
Yeah,
we talked about that on, I think, the last program.
One of them.
Yeah. And the reason you could do that is because these trees have grown up in the right environment. Their mm-hmm. roots are deep. They take up the nutrients from the soil. They combine with the carbon dioxide in the air. They combine with the sunlight, the photosynthesis, the green in there, the chlorophyll, and they turn it into sugar. And you actually tap into the tree and take some of the sugar out, and mm-hmm. you make syrup out of it.
Yep.
Is it good?
It's delicious.
There you go. And God made that. That's the fruit of a tree planted where it belongs.
Right.
So the principle of the tree, if you want to call it, is it's in a place where it gets sunlight. Yeah. It's in a place where it gets water. It's in a place where there's not other trees that crowd it out. It can get the sunlight and that kind of thing. And the byproduct then is the sap that you can make syrup out of.
Yeah.
All right. That's exactly what we're talking about. There's a principle here. If I know God, I walk with God. By that, I mean I read the Bible. I listen to it. I want to listen to God and do what he says. When I do those things, there's a byproduct. I don't even have to work at it. There's a byproduct. And here it is. It says, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, so the byproduct of a healthy tree is fruit.
Yep.
So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. What it's talking about there is, you know, my passions and desires could make it so that I want to be like somebody else. Mm-hmm. I see somebody else. And instead of being the best that God made me to be,
yeah,
I want to be the best God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And God would be saying, I didn't make you like him.
Right.
I made you different.
Absolutely.
I always look at artists with awe because for some reason their fingers can take things and create this beautiful stuff to look at.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Nope.
I've always wanted to do that. I watch piano players play and I'm in awe.
Right.
Especially, you know, concert pianists or whatever it might be, and I think, wow.
Yeah.
I took 5 years of piano lessons and I still can't do a scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be like them.
Yeah.
And I can almost hear God saying, but you're not. I didn't make you that way. I mean, there are kids that can sit by a piano, never have a lesson, and start playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, what in the world? How's their brain wired?
Yeah. Or we're like, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, I want to do that. Now all of a sudden I'm miserable.
Right.
Because I'm looking at somebody else and what they can do well.
Right.
And I can't do it well.
Yep.
So instead of applauding that, I'm angry.
Yeah. And I think our culture has shifted so much into that comparison game, you know, even to the fact of we have influencers now, you know, and really if you think at the core of what an influencer does, it's like, hey, look at me, look what I have, look what I do, because I know you want it.
Yeah. I want to influence you. And by the way, I'm making a boatload of money being an influencer.
Oh, yeah, if you're good at it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, if you're good at it. So that's really why I'm influencing.
Right.
You think I'm influencing to help you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm influencing to help me.
Right.
Because this is what I do, and I get paid big time for it if you're
right
on that kind of list.
Yeah.
Kind of thing for it.
Well, and I think we get so caught up in we lose track of the principles, Dave, and then we focus so much on the things that we want that we just can't have or can't get or aren't willing to work toward by following the principle.
Right.
You know, there's some things that I think we want that maybe we can't have.
Yep.
You know, because it, you know, it's like for me, like if I wanted to be a basketball player, maybe I could if I practiced hard enough by the end of the day.
How tall are you?
You know, I'm 6'1".
You could make a small basketball player.
Yeah. You know.
Can you dunk it?
No, I can't even jump that high.
And
you know,
you can't make a good basketball
right,
player.
Right. You know, so sometimes no matter how bad you want something, it's like, maybe that's not the best thing,
right.
You know, but I think we get so sidetracked and we allow that to then impact the way that we view ourselves.
Right.
So much so then that, you know, one of the articles that you shared with me, that we brought up, but we haven't really talked about yet is it impacts what we call our happiness.
Right.
You know, and that in and of itself exposes another principle. What does it mean to be happy? You know, and where does that come from? But I think our culture nowadays, especially in the several years that we've seen after COVID, what have we seen a rise of? We've seen a rise of anxiety. We've seen a rise of depression and even suicide. All of that, I think, impacts the way that we view ourselves. And the way that we view ourselves is impacted by, I think, the lack of principles that we're abiding by in our life.
Yeah.
Because we just see something, we want it. And some of the stuff, it's like, well, it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Because God didn't create us to be like that.
Yep.
Otherwise, he would have created us to be that.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I think we have to really work at controlling coveting.
Yeah.
Coveting or lust or whatever else you want to call things. Because our whole culture seems to be built on coveting.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that aren't tracking with that, everything it seems like, you turn on your internet, your social media, you turn on television, you think it's free.
Right.
But there's people paying big dollars to influence you on there.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So while you're on the internet or while you're watching TV, while you're whatever you're doing, somebody is trying to get something from your association.
Yeah.
So in order to get you to do something, they have to make you feel like you're missing out because we all hate missing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know all the Swifties will get mad at me when I say this, but I think one of the things about Taylor Swift that makes people want to go is that it looks like everyone goes.
Right.
So you don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
And if everyone goes, you don't want to miss. I know people think it's talented, whatever. Fine, whatever. The bottom line really is there's a massive group of people that go, and if you don't go and you don't know how to spell her name and you don't know who she's dating and you don't, then you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be on the outside. So now all of a sudden you become a fan or whatever it might be. So, and then you keep chasing whatever gets put in front of you because you don't want to feel left out. And in the end, you realize something. You didn't set up what's important. Somebody else did. And so you feel insignificant way down deep in your heart because this isn't what God put in your heart to do.
Yeah.
And instead, you've given in to all the coveting. Nobody who covets is ever going to be happy. That's the opposite side.
Right.
So when you look at what somebody else has or what you don't have and you're not satisfied, you know, one of the things that I've learned in life is that no matter what I have, I had to learn to be satisfied and look at the positive side of it.
Yeah.
For years, I had a truck, and I enjoyed the truck. It was a two-wheel drive truck, which is fine. It's a Toyota truck. And a friend of mine actually gave it to me. So that was a very positive thing.
Yeah.
They were done with it. It had 250,000 miles on it or something. I forget how much, but quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they gave it to me. Now, the only thing that was, there are a couple of negatives with the truck. I mean, it had a lot of miles.
Sure.
Which is fine. And for what I use the truck for, that's fine.
Yep.
And it was a two-wheel drive. And up here, we just talked about weather. Like, that's tomorrow, right. We'll need a four-wheel drive.
That's right.
So up here, when you get a vehicle, you get one that's made for winter.
Yeah.
So it had this. So now here's the dilemma I had. I didn't have a pickup truck. And the reason he gave it to me was he was up and I was doing wood one weekend, just collecting wood for fireplace heating.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a truck. I was using a car kind of thing for it.
Sure.
And he said, why don't you use a truck? I said, because I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh. And then he was getting rid of this, so instead of just getting rid of it and the value, just gave it to me.
Yeah.
So what I was practicing was being thankful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now here's what I was tempted to do. I was tempted to look at the fact that it had 250,000 miles on it and that it was a two-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was tempted to be unsatisfied.
Right.
Now, why would I be? Because there were trucks out there.
Mm.
That were four-wheel drive, that had less miles, that were really cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody said I was cool driving this truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, you're not cool driving that truck.
Yeah.
You know, that's old.
Yeah.
But so here I am. I'm caught in between. I'm very thankful God provided it. It does exactly what I needed to do. I should be rejoicing in the principle is God provided me
absolutely
what I needed. That's the principle. But the coveting in me was, there are a lot of nicer trucks out there.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be satisfied with this one?
Right.
When there's so many other nice ones.
Yeah.
That have four-wheel drive.
Right.
And then I started saying, but I'm a, you know, it's not asking too much to want four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I did that, I got miserable with the truck that I had.
Yeah.
And it's like, so.
Well, and you lose the being able to enjoy it in the moment.
Absolutely.
If you focus it, you know, I mean, you can get whatever it is, whether it be a truck, whether it be clothing, whether it be a toy, whatever it is, whatever area of life you're in, you get it. And it's either you enjoy it or instantly it's like, oh, this is nice, but.
Right.
You know, and that's the culture we live in, unfortunately. We've allowed that to not only impact our choices, but even the way that we view ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's like, well, yeah, I'm good at talking on a podcast, but Dave has a nice booming voice that everybody recognizes.
Don't know what you mean.
You know, and you can always focus on the negative, but
right.
No matter what I do, I mean, I could try to talk like that, yep. You know, but it would sound silly. Why? Because God created me, and it's not me.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, and that's the principles that we need to realize and live in, and even maybe preach to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, is that God created us each uniquely and special. And so what are the gifts that God has given us? What are the things that God made us?
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's important because there are kids that are listening, young people that are listening. I could say kid if you're all the way up to 25 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
So young people that are listening who would look and say, you know what, if I had parents like yours, I'd be happier. Really? If I had cars like your parents do, if I ate like you ate, if I could go out to McDonald's more like you go out, you know, before you know it, what you're doing is you're coveting. You're not satisfied with your life and what you have. To be able to look at what you have, your abilities, your skills, and develop them the best you can.
Right.
That's all you're asked to do. My elbow needs to be an elbow.
Yeah.
And it needs to be the best elbow. It needs to perform as an elbow and be a good elbow, not be painful. And then I'm satisfied with the elbow. And here's the sad part of it, if you want to call it sad.
Sure.
When my elbow works exactly the way it's supposed to, I ignore it.
Right. Yeah.
And if it doesn't want to be ignored, it has to pain me.
Yeah. And that's how your whole body is.
And think about that in life.
Right.
As a teacher, when I taught school, the kids who did everything I asked them to do often got ignored.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this clown over here gets all the teacher's attention. That's because I have to handcuff them and do things. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Because they're hanging from the ceiling.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do you realize that really the principle is that if you do things in life the way you're supposed to do things in life, that probably you're not going to make a scene because you're doing things the way they're meant to be? And that's really important. Now, I grew up, and I've said before, I have a compliant personality, and I've learned that in life. I've learned that if you do everything you're supposed to, you kind of just fill in the blanks, and nobody actually knows you're there. And I found that's where happiness and joy really is. It's doing what you're made to do and not making a big deal and big scene and say, look at me all the time.
Right, right.
So, and we can continue talking about this.
No, and I think it's the more you think about it, even in your life, realizing those principles and that God created each of us uniquely, I think the more satisfaction you'll have. Just like you said, once you hit a point in your life where you actually not only understand that but start living it, it's actually more satisfying. Which is the way God intended it to be, because he created us each with unique gifts. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on this conversation, but like Dave said, we'll have to continue this one on a future episode. I thank you for joining us, and if you want to re-listen to this or check out other episodes that we've done, just head over to your favorite podcasting source, and you can listen to that. Otherwise, for now, this is Jason and Dave on Younger and Older. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.